Today on Young Money Radio. She's just 25 years old, and she's competing in what has been, up to now, the male-dominated sport of IndyCar racing. Danica Patrick talks to Young Money Managing Editor Daniel Jimenez about life in the fast lane, competing with men, and the riches that come with being an IndyCar superstar. Plus, he's one of the most recognized personal finance gurus in the world, and he gives all the credit to his rich dad, the best-selling author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Rich Dad, Poor Dad for Teens. Robert Kiyosaki tells us his secrets to financial success, and the sooner you start, the better for you. This week's show is going to move fast, so sit back and enjoy it. It's your life right now. Welcome to Young Money Radio. Well, hi there, and welcome to the show. I'm Mike Sciano. Welcome to Young Money Radio. Today's show is made possible by the In Charge Education Foundation, a national nonprofit financial education organization, and by Young Money Magazine, distributed on college campuses across America. For a personal subscription, visit youngmoney.com.
What is Young Money Magazine? Young Money is the only money and lifestyle magazine written by young adults for young adults. Young Money features bold celebrity interviews, guaranteed ways to make fast cash, real-life strategies for finding your dream job, insider tips for starting your own business, and updates on the latest tech gadgets. Young Money Magazine is your life right now. Find out more at youngmoney.com.
You're listening to Young Money Radio. I'm Mike Sciano. Hey, if you have ideas for future segments of the show, a financial question, or if you'd like to submit some audio, like an interesting interview, for possible use here on Young Money Radio, send your email to radio at youngmoney.com. That's radio at youngmoney.com.
Young Money Radio.
Welcome back to Young Money Radio. We're so glad to have you here. You know, you can listen to our show 24/7 at youngmoney.com. Indy racing star Danica Patrick is featured on the cover of the new issue of Young Money magazine. Her star has been rising in professional racing, though she's still seeking that elusive first win. She's a tough competitor, and experts say it's just a matter of time and a little more experience before she gets her first checkered flag. She spoke to Young Money's Daniel Jimenez.
We welcome race car driver, superstar Danica Patrick to Young Money Radio, and we're so happy to have you here, Danica.
Thank you.
And, well, let me start off first by asking you, I don't think that most casual race fans, they really understand how difficult it is to achieve what you've been able to do in a very competitive, male-dominated sport. I was wondering if you could talk to me about what sort of challenges you face on your way to the top and how you overcame some of those challenges.
You know, I think the biggest challenge for me really was it wasn't persevering. It wasn't like the passion for it. None of that was the problem. It was just a matter of finding people that believed in me and believed that I could win races and do well and be successful and be a good driver. That was kind of probably the hardest thing in my career. I definitely went through years where there was nobody really fighting for me and on my side, and that doesn't pay off very well when, you get the short end of the stick every time. So, you really have to stand up for what you believe, you have to be confident, and you have to have people around you that are thinking the same thing you are.
Well, you certainly had a remarkable career already, and you're only 25 years old. I wanted to ask you a hypothetical question just for fun here. What advice would you give yourself if you could go back in time and speak to a 20-year-old Danica? What would you tell yourself?
Ooh, if I could talk to a 20-year-old Danica 5 years ago.
Is there anything that you would have?
I guess I would have, at that point in time, I was already kind of starting to do it, but, I would have learned probably a little bit more about the car and the way that it worked and everything. I really feel like for the first time in my career, I'm really, learning the car and the technical side of it and what changes do what. And, I generally know, but when you, the driver, have a feel for what every little change does to a car and how it feels, you can better help your engineer really cut to the chase on what the best changes are for you, because you know what it feels like. And so that's probably what I'd do. But I'm definitely not one to look back and want to change anything. So I wouldn't change anything because I'm here today. But that's what I would say.
Yes. Well, you certainly, obviously you haven't made many mistakes in your career if you're where you are right now. So not only are you one of the top race car drivers, but you're also one of the most popular athletes in the world. And you've been able to build a popular brand image through your merchandising, your website, commercials, TV appearances. So what do you attribute that business success away from the actual racing itself?
I mean, I think that it's important to stay true to yourself and have companies and brands around you that represent you and that, you know, are like glimpses of you, you know. But also finding sponsors too that are really into the program and really will activate it and really will go out there and market you and use you, because it's a dead end street if a sponsor doesn't advertise and use you, because how can they really benefit if they don't, they give you money to be able to advertise with you, and if they don't, then they don't get a payoff, and then the relationship doesn't continue because it's not a win-win. And I've always felt very strongly about having sponsors around me that do that, and I think I learned that from my very first sponsor, actually, which was Argent. They were my first primary sponsor back in Formula Atlantic, and they really, really marketed me, and it worked for them. And ever since then, it's always definitely a strong stance and a very, very much a thought and a decision maker when it comes to who I want to endorse products with and which sponsors come along the way.
Yeah, that was good. That leads me into my next question, which is related. You must get so many different business projects offered to you. How do you go about deciding which ones are really worth your time?
You know, I think that for me, I've stayed pretty select with the things that I've done. I haven't done things just to do them. I don't do everything for money. I kind of go off of gut instinct. I look at the project and I really see, number one, does it fit into the schedule, and number two, is it going to make a big hit, and is it going to make an impact and be noticed, and that kind of really helps me decide. And is it something that I believe in? Because I think that you best represent the products when you. And the idea or whatever it is or the show, when you believe in it and when you like it. So those are kinds of things that I think about when those opportunities come up.
Okay. This is Young Money Radio, and we're chatting with race car driver Danica Patrick. And Danica, you're one of the highest paid drivers in your sport. Wondering, what's the biggest way that financial success has changed your life?
How it's changed my life? Well, money doesn't always make everything better. It does add complication and more work, but, you know, of course I wouldn't turn that down. And, you know, I still feel like I have a long way to go. I you know, when I want to stop racing, I want to be able to. I don't want to have to work anymore after that. So I want to make sure that I maximize my where I am in the sports world and who I can and where I am with sponsors and what I can do for them. I think it's important to maximize that. It's such a short career in reality. I mean, we work maybe till we're 35 or so, you know, that's not that long. So you have to take advantage.
What's been the highlight of your career so far to you?
Highlight of my career? That's pretty easy, you know. The 2005 Indy 500 sort of changed my life, so I think that will be the highlight. But you know, there's always little victories in and along the way at individual races where I felt like I've made strides or I felt like I drove really well. But that was definitely the life changing one.
Well, your parents have obviously been a major influence in your life and career. Do you have any other role models that you look up to, whether in racing or outside the sport?
You know, I'm not I'm not about idols or anything like that. I never really had those when I was growing up necessarily. But I always really liked to, I always had people, good people around me that I could learn from at least. And so that I would be able to be a step ahead, of what maybe other people's mistakes were, or, just knowing about things. So, I've definitely tried to learn from the people around me, but I'd have to say that if I'm picking role models, really, I think more than anything, I really look to my family. You know, they're good people, and you know, my mom, dad, my husband, mm-hmm. my sister. So, you know, those are the people that I really am closest with.
Yeah, that sounds like me. When I was growing up, I mean, I had people that I really liked and respected, athletes and such, but I didn't have posters all over the place. And
me neither.
That sort of thing.
I just really, you know, it's like, I don't know. I just never, I always knew that I was, I guess I was subconsciously knew that I was a little bit different. And I feel like it's healthy to have them, but I just always wanted to be the first Danica, you know. I just didn't want to put any sort of expectations out there, because you just don't know how big it can get. And if you set your sights a little low, then you sell yourself short. So, you know, you have to really dream big. I mean, that's definitely what I did when I was young. I really dreamt big, that if I could make it, it would be a really big deal.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your future. Have you set any long-term goals for yourself other than just trying to win as many races as possible?
You know, I mean, I think that there's the on-track performance, and then there's obviously the outside the car business side of things. And, you know, there's obviously, I have ideas in my head financially where I'd like to be at certain points. We're definitely working towards them. But, you know, that's probably the other goal outside of the car, is just maximizing everything that has come to me and that's in front of me at the moment.
Mm-hmm. You hoping to have a family someday, maybe some little race car drivers?
I don't know about that. You know, I was never big on kids when I was young. And, you know, I got married a year and a half ago. And the fact that I actually can say the words without cringing, I guess, is a step in the right direction. I don't know. I just wasn't always a kid person. But, you know, when you get married, you think about that. So at this point, no. But you just don't know where life may take you.
Well, what about fans? How are you when you go out in the street? I'm just curious. Are you approached a lot? How do you deal with that sort of attention?
You know, it's kind of an awkward one, because you can tell when people notice you and when they want to come over, and mm-hmm. you know, you can hear them whispering, or you can see them like holding a piece of paper and a pen or something, and you know, you want to just kind of go, do you need something? But what if they don't? What if they're not thinking? Like, what if they have no intentions of speaking to me? And so you kind of have to wait. But it's, for the most part, everybody's always very nice, and everybody has good intentions, and they just really want to meet you. As simple as that.
Well, we certainly appreciate you. I know your schedule is crazy, so we certainly appreciate you coming on Young Money Radio and talking to us. And we're definitely going to keep an eye on your career. I know you've got a lot of incredible things ahead of you, and you've already done so much, and our audience is right about your age, so we know a lot of people will love to see you on our magazine and hear the interview. So we
Great.
Just want to thank you again for your time.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right, take care, Danica.
Take care. Bye.
Recently, Danica earned a pole starting position at the Honda Indy 200. She finished fifth, but it was her best finish on any Indy road course so far in her career. You're listening to Young Money Radio. I'm Mike Sciano, and coming up, Rich Dad, Poor Dad author Robert Kiyosaki tells us that the advice your dad is giving you may be all wrong. Stay tuned.
What is Young Money Magazine? Young Money is the only money and lifestyle magazine written by young adults for young adults. Young Money features bold celebrity interviews, guaranteed ways to make fast cash, real-life strategies for finding your dream job, insider tips for starting your own business, and updates on the latest tech gadgets. Young Money Magazine is your life right now. Find out more at youngmoney.com.
You're listening to Young Money Radio. I'm Mike Sciano. Hey, if you have ideas for future segments of the show, a financial question, or if you'd like to submit some audio, like an interesting interview for possible use here on Young Money Radio, send your email to radio@youngmoney.com. That's radio@youngmoney.com.
Young Money Radio.
While selling millions of books around the world and lecturing to thousands of people, Robert Kiyosaki has built a business empire primarily by investing in real estate. We had the chance to talk to Robert and get some smart strategies for building a personal fortune the rich dad way right here on Young Money Radio. We're thrilled. We're excited. We've been looking forward to having Robert Kiyosaki on, investor, entrepreneur, educator, and author, of course, of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Robert, welcome to In Charge Radio. We're thrilled to have you.
Well, thank you. I apologize for being late. I'm on a different time zone.
We
figured. I need to change my watch back. I can invest, but I can't change my watch.
Well, not only are you on a different time zone, my friend, you are on a different level altogether when it comes to understanding how to generate revenue, how to retire. You retired at age 47, right?
Yeah, 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's incredible. And then, of course, you wrote the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And for some of our listeners who may not be, it'd be hard to believe that some, I think you've sold 17 million of the books,
18.
But 18 million now. Very few people are not familiar, but for those who are not familiar, can you give us a quick synopsis of the whole concept of Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Rich Dad, Poor Dad was the true story about my two dads. I grew up in Hawaii. And my poor dad was my real dad, and he was the head of education for the state of Hawaii. In fact, he ran for lieutenant governor of the state of Hawaii. And the reason I call him my poor dad is because, although a high-paid government official, we know the story. No matter how much money he made, he was broke at the end of every month, and he ultimately died broke. So that proved that, you know, just having a good education and working hard wasn't enough. My rich dad was my best friend's father, and he was a man who started with nothing, but by the time I was in college, he was becoming one of the richest men in Hawaii. The Rich Dad, Poor Dad is a very simple story about what two fathers tell their sons, my best friend and I, about the subject of money. And most of us know what the middle class always teach their kids, which is go to school, get good grades, work hard, save money, get out of debt, buy a house, etc. My rich dad said that's good for the middle class, but you generally don't get rich that way. The Rich Dad, Poor Dad is very simply how the rich handle money, which is very different than the poor and middle class.
Yeah, it's amazing. The book is just eye-opening when you start to understand some of those concepts. The rich, the wealthy, really look at the concept of generating income differently than middle class and poor people, don't they?
That's correct. My poor dad always said, work hard, and my rich work hard for money, and my rich dad said, the rich don't work for money. The rich work to acquire assets like, you know, stocks, real estate, and companies. And those assets put money in their pockets so they don't have to work. And one of the reasons I was able to retire early was because I have companies and I had real estate, and every month I get a check whether I work or not. So
yeah.
That was the difference.
Robert Kiyosaki, our guest, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the new book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad for Teens. You've spoken across the world about your philosophy. Robert, we're so happy to have you on In Charge Radio. What do you think, as you've met people, when you wrote the book, obviously you had keen insight, but then as you've met people over the years, why do you think, we read about this, we read your book, we read others, we want to be obviously in your shoes or have wealth. What is the difference? Why do the majority of people not take action?
Well, that's a really good question, because 3 days ago I was in Hawaii. That's why I was in a different time zone. And that's my excuse. But
yeah.
I was doing an infomercial shoot, and there's this Hawaiian guy out there. He's 40 years old. He has 9 kids and a wife. He has only one income. He's a prison guard. And in 2 years after reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he bought 12 homes in Hawaii.
Wow.
And as we know, real estate in Hawaii is really expensive.
Yeah.
So he became a millionaire in less than 2 years. So we did the infomercial shoot with him, and I was feeling really happy and proud of him, and, you know, just amazed at what he did. I drove into Waikiki, and I went to this clothing store, and there was this very attractive Asian woman. And, you know, she's graduated from college, but she's working 3 jobs, and one of the jobs is as a clerk in the store. And I was telling her about this Hawaiian guy, and you know what she said to me?
What?
He says, you can't do that here. It's impossible.
Impossible. There he is.
And then here I am telling her of a guy who's doing it, and she's saying, no, you can't do that here. And if there's one thing I've heard, Mike, that is the most common thing. There's two things. I can't afford it, and I can't, and you can't do that here. And so people will say, well, you can do that in Phoenix, but you can't do that in, let's say, Chicago. And I go, well, I do it in Chicago, too. Now you can't do it here. And it comes from, you know, Sunday school, the word becomes flesh. So if you say, I can't do it here, you can't do it here. Everybody else can, but you can't. And I think that's the biggest challenge I have seen with people.
Interesting. Robert Kiyosaki, our guest.
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you.
It's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Rich Dad, Poor Dad for Teens, which we'll touch on in a minute, Robert. The interesting thing is that you've obviously proven that you can do this. What about nowadays, though? Obviously, you probably are going to start hearing a lot about how homes are so overvalued, because real estate is really one of the keystones of your philosophy. Becoming a real estate investor, making it a business, not just doing it as a hobby, by the way. But are you hearing that more and more? Well, homes, the values of homes have just exploded. I can't do this because of that reason.
Yeah, but there's a difference between a home and an investment property. They're completely two different animals. And most people are speculating on their home. You know, they say, my net worth's up because I bought a house for $200,000, not worth $400,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, a home is an emotional buy, and I wouldn't be playing the investment market with it. But investment real estate is very simply, it's as valuable as your tenant. So it's whatever your tenant will pay you for is what it's worth. And the other thing about, you know, even if real estate's expensive, my banker still gives me the money. So when I hear somebody says, I don't have the money and I can't afford it, they really don't know how to invest because my banker gives me the money anyway. And my tenant is the person that's going to pay my monthly payments as well as pay down the rent, pay down the mortgage.
Interesting.
So it's just a different point of view. I just bought a $3 million rental property. And the reason it's $3 million is because the rent I charge on it is $17,000 a month.
Wow.
So it's the rental income that determines the price, not the price of the home. And the bank gave me nearly 100% financing on it.
Interesting. Robert Kiyosaki, our guest, investor, entrepreneur, educator, and author. The new book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad for Teens, you actually started with a board game, Cashflow 101, Robert, and now you're writing for teens. Was the original game aimed at young people?
No, we have a younger version, but Cashflow 101 was designed to teach accounting and investing to adults. It's a fairly intense, tough game, so that's why we charge so much money for it. Only people who are going to buy it are psychotic. But Rich Dad, Poor Dad for Teens came about because so many adults kept saying, I wish I had this when I was younger. And there's really some truth to that because,
yeah.
I don't know, and the reason I wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad for Teens is because your teenager will face a tougher financial world than we ever did. And there's several reasons for that. One of them is like this, you know, outsourcing of jobs. You know, today white-collar jobs are going to India and Japan and China. So even if you have a college education, there's somebody in India that will work for, you know, 10% of what you'll work for.
Right.
The second thing is that the baby boomers are set to retire, and they're going to pass, and who's going to pay for their retirement? There's approximately 80 million of them. 70% have no retirement. So that means your teenager will be paying for my retirement, and the national deficit is so large, I don't know how the kids are going to do it. They estimate that 50% of your child's income will be going to pay for the Social Security and Medicare benefits of their parents. That's how high it's going to be.
It's getting scary out there, and we've got more and more people talking about the fact that people will be working well into their retirement. You know, the traditional retirement, Robert, is, you know, retire at 65 and then live on Social Security or your investments or your pension. Those days are gone.
They're gone.
Yeah, and so
look at this: 80 million baby boomers set to retire in 5 years, or the first start to retire. And I think if you have $1,000 each, it comes out to like $8 billion a month or something, or $800 million a month.
Yeah,
there's another fact that why teens are so important is because today more young people are declaring bankruptcy than graduating from college.
That's scary stuff.
Yeah, because the credit card companies are sending your kids credit cards, and our school system still teaches nothing about money. That's so ridiculous.
As we run out of time, Robert Kiyosaki is our guest, Rich Dad, Poor Dad fame, all of the products and great educational material that you've created over the years. Can you give us a couple of key concepts that people should begin thinking about now? Certainly they should get the books. What are the key concepts to begin to right your financial ship and get going in the right direction?
Well, since this is about teens, and if you have a teenager, you should get this book. But what my rich dad taught me years ago was that my banker never wants me to ask for my report card. My banker wants to see my financial statement.
Right.
And most people don't have financial statements. They have credit applications, but no financial statements. A financial statement is your credit, is your report card when you're an adult. And when a banker asks you for your financial statement, the banker wants to see your financial IQ, not your academic IQ. That's why we have so many people who did well in school, but they don't do well financially in the real world, because the bankers know what's important once you graduate, and it's your financial statement. So that's one of the biggest things I always say to people, is that you really have to have a high financial IQ today also, as well as an academic IQ.
Robert Kiyosaki has recently begun writing a column for Yahoo Finance. He's a frequent guest on radio and television shows, and his latest book is Why We Want You to Be Rich, which he co-wrote with none other than Donald Trump. Remember these Kiyosaki thoughts for maximum success. You are what you think. A job is a short-term solution to a long-term problem. A highly paid slave is still a slave. And why climb the corporate ladder when you can own the ladder? You're listening to Young Money Radio. I'm Mike Sciano. Hey, if you have ideas for future segments of the show, a financial question, or if you'd like to submit some audio, like an interesting interview for possible use here on Young Money Radio, send your email to radio@youngmoney.com. That's radio@youngmoney.com.
What is Young Money Magazine? Young Money is the only money and lifestyle magazine written by young adults for young adults. Young Money features bold celebrity interviews, guaranteed ways to make fast cash, real-life strategies for finding your dream job, insider tips for starting your own business, and updates on the latest tech gadgets. Young Money Magazine is your life right now. Find out more at youngmoney.com.
Young Money Radio.
This edition of Young Money Radio was made possible by the In Charge Education Foundation and Young Money Magazine. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, send an email to radio@youngmoney.com. That's radio@youngmoney.com. This program is available for listening 24/7 at youngmoney.com. Young Money Magazine is a publication of the In Charge Education Foundation, a national nonprofit financial education organization. I'm Mike Sciano, and for everyone here at Young Money, thanks for listening and enjoy your life right now.